You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Kristen.
Kristen, we've talked about exercise before, but we haven't talked about why we let ourselves get duped year after year, decade after decade, and in this case, century after century, by fitness fads.
Yeah, we have been talking about fitness and exercise quite a lot since it is January, and in our research for a podcast on things like New Year's resolutions and our previous sweaty history of the American gym, we ran across lovely and sometimes not so lovely reminders of fitness fads. And I'm not just talking about like Jane Fonda and jazzercising, but geez, weird contraptions?
Things, yeah. Butt sculptors. Mm-hmm. There's a picture of a man using a butt sculptor. He's standing, and there's this contraption sort of around him, and he's wearing a full suit. So it really wasn't sweat-inducing. But yeah, things that were scary-looking and could potentially hurt your organs, as we'll talk about with one particular fad.
Well, and essentially what we found out was that since ancient times, of course we're going to harken back to the Greeks.
Those Greeks.
The Greeks who were exercise-loving, in the nude, exercise-loving folks. Since the Greek times, that makes it sound
The times we're in, of those naked Greeks.
Yes, those naked Greeks. Back since then, people have been building tools to assist with exercise.
Yeah.
We've never been like a very Pilates-minded species where it's like we just use our body as a resistance band. We just can jog. No, we always need things.
Well, because if you buy something, or in the case of the Greeks, make something, I mean, obviously you're going to get more fit, right?
Well, the Greeks obviously thought so because we have them to thank for something called a halteres, which is a semicircular chunk of rock with a hole in it that inspired the dumbbell and the kettlebell.
Yeah, they couldn't just do push-ups.
No.
They were like, oh, we need to be strong men.
Well, I wonder if it has to do with, because you said strong men, I wonder if it has to do with some kind of masculinity construct around like feats of strength.
Could be.
You know, it wasn't just, they could just either do push-up contest till the sun goes down, or
pick up a rock.
They could see hello, Theseus. Can you pick up that rock?
I sure can, Perseus. Now, I picture one guy like walking around outside of the gymnasium.
Naked.
Naked. And he's standing there with his hands on his hips and he's like, I really need to show this guy up. I need to show this guy that I'm fit. And so I just picture him, like, with a side eye looking at the other Greek guy, and he, like, picks up a rock, and the other Greek guy's like, well, I can do that. And he picks up a bigger rock. And then it's just, like, pandemonium. They just continue to pick up big rocks until they're the fittest men in the gymnasium.
See, I imagine, like, one of those guys walking out and putting his hands on his hips and thinking, I should have worn a loincloth. But that's just me.
There is a breeze. Well, moving forward, we have a German guy to thank for gymnastics. I had no idea. So the German father of gymnastics is Friedrich Ludwig Jahn. He invented the parallel bars, rings, and balance beam. And this actually, like, catapulted a huge movement in the universe.
We mentioned in the universe, yes. No, we mentioned this in our gym history podcast, how there were these people who left Germany and brought gymnastics to the United States. And all of a sudden, like, gymnastics was cool. And this was in, I think, the late 1800s. I believe.
That's quite an import.
Yes.
And wasn't there something like the Germans didn't want an outbreak of gymnastics to happen? There was something about, like, they were afraid of the young people getting too nationalistic.
Oh, I don't know about that. As far as I know, it was the opposite in the United States, where they wanted to get gymnastics programs into every school because the American children were too soft.
Yes, that's exactly right.
There are lots of impressions for this episode of Stuff Mom Never Told You.
Do you have one for Jack LaLanne?
No, I don't.
Well, we also talked about Jack LaLanne in our fitness episode, our sweaty gym history one. In the 1950s, Jack LaLanne was this big fitness guy, right? And he was the father of, you know, he had the first exercise TV show and whatnot. But in the 1950s... there was a little old thing called Jack LaLanne's Glamour Stretcher.
I love that name.
It does sound wonderful.
Yeah, it was the first elastic band used for resistance training. And here we go with some gendered marketing.
Listen up, ladies.
It was marketed to women for, quote, a lovelier, more exciting figure. I wonder if by exciting they mean hourglass. And, I mean, that's also the interesting thing about fitness fads in particular, as distinct from just straight up exercise, where it's always been sort of a gender equal game in terms of there have always been products hawked both at women, especially like things like glamorizers and fat dissolvers, etc., and at men. But men's obviously have been more focused on like building hulking muscles, doing things like American bodybuilder Charles Atlas's 13 lesson course on bodybuilding that is still going strong.
And why wouldn't you trust a man with the name Atlas?
I know.
He holds up the world. In the 1970s, I love it. This is when the roller skating trend happens. The short shorts and the Farrah Fawcett hair and the little roller skate.
I would not have been very fit in the 1970s, for I am a terrible roller skater. Obviously, I'm going to say that is the only way to exercise in the 1970s. I can rollerblade. I'm clearly a child of my generation because I can rollerblade. But I cannot roller skate.
I told you about the time I ended up under the vending machine, right? When I was roller skating?
No.
I tried to stop myself, and I couldn't. So I just, full speed, jumped off of the rink and onto the carpeted area, and my feet went up, and I went back, and I shot under the vending machine. And this family just, like, nobody offered to help. They just all laughed at me.
That sounds like something from America's Funniest Home Videos, and I would have voted for it. As would have Bob Saget.
That's almost validating.
And then in the 1980s, as we also mentioned in our gym podcast, we have the emergence of aerobics, the coining of the term aerobics, and all of a sudden everyone was putting on their high-cut leotards and sweating to the now oldies.
Well, I mean, that's an okay trend. I mean, if we're talking about, as far as fads go, like, there are things out there that, as we'll talk about, have been yanked off the market. People have been sued. People have been injured. But aerobics, and even roller skating, as silly as it is, like, at least they get your heart rate up.
That's true. And nowadays, while we were poking fun earlier at things like glamour stretchers and butt shapers, this stuff is still weird. We still, like, you know, people are still coming up with bizarre fitness tools. And also, of course, technology is now playing a huge role. There are video games, apps. Do we need to mention the Wii Fit?
I did Wii bowling one time and was sore.
That's not a Wii Fit. Was it your wrist?
That was my shoulder.
Oh, no. Maybe you should then take a Zumba class.
I have. It is exhausting.
Yeah? Is it? Do you just dance?
You dance? I took a class from a woman who can only be described as a pirate. Because she had really big hair and a gold tooth and wore red lipstick, and she had like a, she wore tight gym clothes, but then had like some kind of little sari tied around her waist, and she, I'm moving for Kristen's benefit. You guys can't
see. I'm picturing Charo teaching a Zumba class.
Yeah, it was special.
Well, I would also like to see that woman wielding a shake weight, perhaps. Can we take a moment to, who invented the shake weight?
Somebody who knew that he or she could sucker a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I think, you know what? Honestly, I don't know that anyone's ever bought a shake weight in a serious effort to improve their muscles.
Yeah, it was either a misguided exercise fiend or a comedian who invented the shake weight. I'm not sure. If you don't know what a shake weight is, I recommend that you Google it right now.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise, all things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't wait. Call today. then there's also the body blade. Caroline, can you describe what a body blade is, please?
It's like this big pole thing or like a blade-looking ski item kind of thing. And you hold it above your head and you shake it. And so the oscillating requires you to use your massive amount of strength to stop it.
It's such a trend with all these, the belts that cause the shaking that's supposed to shake the fat away, the shake weight, the body blade. There's a strange thing in the human brain that thinks that we can just shake calories away.
It's not true. Apparently, we can also hoop them away. Weighted hula hooping is all the rage, apparently.
Yeah, this actually, though, has some merit. In 2008, fun fact for avid hula hoopers out there, that was the 50th anniversary of the hula hoop. But if you don't want to risk the embarrassment of being caught hula hooping in your backyard. There is a Wii Fit version of it. And there are even gym classes with weighted hula hoops. And a trainer and spokesman, Jim White, for the American Dietetic Association, says that the hula hoop actually can give you a decent workout. But if you're a beginner, I love this advice, stick with a normal hoop so you don't pull a muscle.
And he also said that women are far likelier to be able to hoop well.
Jim. I feel like that's a little bit of a gendered assumption. I've seen guys hoop.
I don't think I am the worst hooper.
I'm not the best hooper. I have met a professional hooper, though, who traveled with jam bands. And not only did she make an impressive living off of hooping with LED lit hula hoops, she also had some funny stories to tell, as you can imagine.
I'm sure. But that's not wiping away the skeptical look on my face.
Well, raise your eyebrow a little bit more, Caroline Irvin, because we're going to talk about stripper sizing.
Are we?
Yeah, I feel like this also could merit its own podcast, because not only, at first it was just like, oh, pole dancing could be taught as an exercise class. And I get that. That takes some upper body strength to hoist yourself up a pole,
and
I
do the
assume.
Spin.
Yeah, and spin. I haven't tried.
No.
But I have also very little upper body strength, so I can imagine it would be difficult, says the person who's never successfully crossed the monkey bars. But now there are lap dance classes you can take. There are stiletto workouts. I recently posted that on our Tumblr page, stuffmomnevertoldyou.tumblr.com, if you'd like to check it out. Like the newest, you know, and of course it's always in New York. All these New Yorkers putting on stilettos, working out.
Perfect accent. Warning, stripper heels could lead to injury. And that's a warning I think that's good for everyone.
Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, though, stripper heels, barefoot running.
Yeah.
What about that?
Well, people need to be careful with that. This is either literally like going running barefoot or buying those, what are they called? Like, they're called like finger shoes or something weird.
I call them toe shoes.
Well, because toe shoes are ballet, right? But are they really?
No. Those are point shoes.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Toe shoes. Clearly, you are not a bunhead, Caroline. But toe shoes are what non-ballerinas call point shoes.
Okay. I'm closing the can of worms now. Yeah, basically, they argue that we should run barefoot or in these shoes because our ancestors did not have fancy running shoes like Nikes. So that we should all go back to a time of barefoot running. But a lot of doctors and physical therapists and everybody warn that you shouldn't just jump into this, because you're probably, if you're like most people, used to walking in shoes of some type. So they do warn to be careful with such high energy or high impact exercises like running if you're going to do it barefoot.
Yeah, especially barefoot running on those hard surfaces sounds like a recipe for
sand.
Shin splints.
Just go to the Caribbean, find a beach, and go running.
I like that fitness fad. Now, speaking of shoes, though, shoes are the reason why we initially did this podcast, because a few listeners wrote in asking about toning sneakers in particular. And we were like, oh, yeah, toning sneakers, let's do that. And then it kind of exploded into, oh, well, wait, we have all of these other fitness, questionable fitness things going on. And if you're not familiar with toning sneakers, they sort of resemble moon boots. They're tennis shoes that are marketed to enhance your, burn more calories, improve your buttocks tone and calf tone just by going about your daily business. You don't have to walk more or run, the thickness of the, and I guess the angle of the tread on these toning sneakers supposedly just do the work for you. Which anytime it comes to fitness and something says that it will just do the work for you, come on, people.
Well, you know who else is interested in these toning shoes?
Kim Kardashian.
Well, yes. But there's someone else, Kristen.
Tell me.
So these shoes are marketed to women, correct?
Yes, but I have seen men in them.
Yeah, my dad asked me, good old Chad asked me if I thought that toning sneakers worked.
And a lot of people do. I've heard some people, you know, say that they do in fact work. Maybe though,
walking more.
That I was about to say that. Yeah, maybe it's kind of a thing of you have these toning sneakers. You assume they're going to work more, so you're going to put them on. And you're going to walk around a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Reebok and Skechers actually got in a lot of trouble. Skechers in particular, I think, was just trying to sell Kim Kardashian's butt.
Yeah,
consumers.
A lot of the, and we're not trying to be crass, but a lot of the, again, with the gendered marketing of fitness products, the Skechers was an interesting case study because Kim Kardashian, reality show star, was their spokesperson for it, but it was more like a spokesbutt because since the Skechers were marketed to really tone the calves and the rear, all of the I have no idea what the shoes look like because all of the advertisements just honed in on her behind.
Yeah, well, Skechers ended up having to pay $40 million to settle false ad claims in May 2012. The money went to provide refunds to consumers. And David Vladek, who's the director of the Federal Trade Commission's Bureau of Consumer Protection, said that the settlement is believed to be the FTC's largest ever involving consumer refunds. And the settlement was bigger than Reebok's, basically, because Skechers had more market share. And those shoes are not cheap. The Skechers shoes ran $100 a pair.
Yeah. And flip-flops went for $60. So it's they kind of knew, it seems like, what they were doing. So the Federal Trade Commission is on the lookout, at least, for these phony fitness fads.
Yeah. Well, you talked about, like, you know, these shoes are supposed to tone you. Well, Reebok in September 2011 faced the same music. They ended up having to pay $25 million in customer refunds to settle charges of deceptive advertising for their Easy Tone shoes. The FTC complaint alleged that Reebok falsely claimed that using the shoes had proven to lead to 28% more strength and tone in your butt, 11% more strength and tone in your hamstrings, and 11% more strength in the calf muscles than using regular walking shoes. So, yeah, I don't know how they could come up with these numbers unless people really were actually just getting out and walking more regardless.
Yeah, and with Skechers, though, to me, the thing that I found to be the most disheartening was not so much false advertising towards adults, but their marketing of these shape-up shoes to the tween set. I found this post over at Sociological Images, and they had a screen grab from the animated commercial that shows a young girl, probably 13 years old. She's wearing her tone-ups, and she's walking past boys dressed in a hot dog costume, a cupcake costume, and something that looks kind of like either a donut or a cake pop. I'm not entirely sure.
Mm.
It's a black and white picture.
I would like to date a donut.
I would like a cake pop right now. and it was such troubling advertising because, okay, it's not bad at all to say, hey, you know, exercise is good for you. Get off the couch and exercise, young person. But it was equating exercising with shunning food. It's like, not only will you put on these shoes and walk your way to fitness, you will also walk your way to never eating junk food again. That's a lot. Oh, I can't even talk.
Let's not confuse our tweens.
No. Talk about some majorly false advertising. And the FTC is not just coming down, though, on toning shoes. No. The Ab Circle Pro, the Body Flex system, all these kinds of things. They're cracking down on false fitness claims.
Yeah, the Ab Circle Pro pitchwoman said that it helped her lose 80 pounds and then launch a career as a fitness model. And here's what she said. She said, you can either do 30 minutes of abs and cardio or just 3 minutes a day. The choice is yours. And I feel like that's what sucks all these people into these fitness fads that are ridiculous or unsafe or just plain weird, is the promise of you ate all that turkey at Thanksgiving and Christmas. Now, just like put these shoes on or put this vibrating belt on for a little while and wipe it all away.
Well, sure, because this ties in so much to our episode on New Year's resolutions and thinking about the science of willpower, because I think the way that these kinds of fitness fads get us is our flawed way of conceptualizing long-term goals, because we look in the mirror, we see where we are, and in our mind's eye, our goal is to be something chiseled and perfect, and that's perfect in quotes, and some idealized image. And so, of course, all of these things offer you the quick route to that. Because otherwise, you know, if we don't take it in baby steps, it can be incredibly hard to meet fitness goals.
Yeah. But we spend so much money on these things every year. Not just the gadgets and the gizmos, but also supplements and, you know, diet foods and things that promise to make us a better version of ourselves. The manufacturers are just going to keep making them. Thankfully, though, and we've talked about the FTC, they are here to protect us and take up issue with advertisers' false claims. And I thought this was on Lisa Johnson's fitness blog, lisajohnsonfitness.com. She has some things to keep in mind when reading those fitness claims, and I think one of them ties in very well to the toning shoes and the Ab Circle Pro in particular, that the models that they hire to be the spokespeople probably didn't get where they are physically by using the product that they're hawking.
Yeah.
They probably actually went for a run.
Or Kim Kardashian was simply blessed with certain genetics that went straight to her butt. And I will never be able to tone my butt enough.
Yeah.
To make it look like that.
I know. I think it involves lunges or something.
No, I think it involves genetics.
To get that lovely butt. She also recommends keeping in mind, look, people, results will vary. Don't trust anything that says lose 5 pounds in a week, lose 10 pounds in a week. Because if you are losing that much weight, something is desperately wrong.
Yeah, it's not a healthy way to go. But one thing, Caroline, that you looked a little bit deeper into that maybe, I don't know, maybe this could be a little bit of a quick route to slimness. Is that a word, slimness?
Sure.
It's late in the day.
Slimicity?
Slimicity. Electronic muscle stimulators, which apparently have been around in some form or another for a really long time, according to the British Journal of Rheumatology.
Yeah, electricity has been used in the treatment of arthritis in particular since the time of Socrates using torpedo fish. Those are apparently very special fish. By the 18th century, this has really been in vogue forever. So by the 18th century, electrotherapy was used to treat various illnesses. In 1791, specifically, Luigi Galvani figured out that the leg muscles of a frog twitch when an electric current goes through them. And so people are like, wait a second. Muscles? Electricity? Are we onto something? So go to Reverend John Wesley. He actually speculated, and this is interesting, and I don't know what he means, but he speculated that electric fire diluted the minute vessels and capillary passages and separated the clogging particles of stagnating fluids. Hallelujah!
That sounds like it gets your heart pumping and your blood moving.
Well, that's a weird way to say it.
Maybe I should be a reverend. Well, the interesting thing is that today there are still electrical muscle stimulators, because Luigi Galvani was right on the money in thinking that you can send an electric current to stimulate the leg muscles, because when our muscles stimulate, that is a form of an electric current that is in our body naturally. But electric muscle stimulators today are FDA regulated and intended for use in physical therapy and rehabilitation.
Yeah, no EMS devices, electronic muscle stimulating devices, have been cleared by the FDA for weight loss or fitness purposes. They will not, people. They will not give you a six pack.
Yeah, even though in the 19th century, the kind of electronic muscle stimulants became a fashionable treatment, it became discredited by the mid-19th century. So, you know, we'll have to move on to that. But what about jiggling belts? We still found these are the kind of like the glamour stretcher things that we talked about
yeah,
earlier. And I'm jiggling in my seat, so I have one on.
When I Googled them, I totally expected to find just pictures of, you know, like ye old timey jiggling belts from the 30s and 40s. Oh no, Kristen, they still exist.
Still exist.
Yeah, one site that sells them, and I'm not even going to say the site because why would I, claims that they can develop muscles and improve circulation using vibration therapy.
Oh, and this is fascinating, too, in terms of the popularity of jiggling belts and the glamour stretcher and why it would have been marketed specifically to women, so that they didn't have to move around and get all sweaty.
Yeah, because that's not feminine.
Exactly. So all they had to do was stand there. So it was an acceptable form of an attempt at weight loss.
Yeah, one blogger said that she used to go with her mother when her mother went to the gym to get on the jiggling belt. And so she just sat there and watched all these women get jiggled around as they smacked their gum in their mouths and said it was not a pretty sight. But these machines were actually pulled from the market after being all the rage in the 60s because apparently hundreds of people developed serious organ complications from it. Getting shaken up like a can of Coke?
I have a feeling that the rule about you're supposed to wait, what, like an hour after you eat a meal to get in the water would definitely apply when it comes to the jiggling
belts.
Yeah,
maybe it's more of a first thing in the morning exercise.
So what do we have to look forward to in 2013? Because fitness fads aren't going anywhere. We still buy into them. That was one thing, though, one bit of scholarship that I dug around for this podcast, and I could not find, which was some kind of analysis on, like, the patterns of buying into these things, like the marketing, the gendered stuff. And I wasn't coming up with anything.
Yeah, there's not a lot of research out there that we found. So, listeners, if you happen to be in that field of research,
yeah,
maybe hit us up.
Right, because there's a lot on, you know, exercise in general, because that ties into body politics and, you know, masculinity ideals and all of that. But specifically with these, like, the mentality of how we, for so long, have bought into these, essentially, like, fitness quacks.
I really think I would theorize that it really goes back to, I don't want to exercise.
Yeah.
But I want to look really hot naked. So I'm going to try the toning shoes or the body blade or the vibrating plate thing that you stand on. I don't get
one.
I saw one with people doing crunches on it. And I tell you, Kristen, I went to that website. If I can't tell what your product does within 5 seconds of going to your website, it's questionable.
I'm buying it just to find out. So for 2013, especially for the ladies, the American Academy of Sports Medicine says that strength training and body weight training are expected to be the top fitness trends, especially for women.
Yeah, they say that women are particularly attracted to the trend since cultural ideas of femininity are gradually focusing on strength over slimness, with fitness becoming a priority. So I want to know, a year from now, 2 years from now, are we going back to, like, the Glamazon, Cindy Crawford aesthetic, where we're all, like, sweaty with headbands and we look all, like, big and ripped?
Big and ripped?
As opposed to, like, the Kate Moss waifiness.
Strength versus slimness? Yeah, I think we're moving a little bit away from waifishness.
I better buy some self-tanner.
But I feel like it's a pendulum, though, that for so long is just gonna keep swinging back and forth. And the thing that we need to do a podcast on, Caroline, spoiler alert.
Tell me.
Is stuff on men's body image.
Yeah.
Because all of the body image anxiety and phobias that for so long was talked about just in relation to younger women, and of course older women as well, but starting with younger women, we're now seeing in big numbers among men as well, including things like eating disorders.
Yeah.
So things to look forward to on our end in 2013. If you mentioned that if anyone is in the fitness industry and can offer us some insight into this, let us know. Anyone who has bought into any fad, don't be ashamed.
No, we want to hear your story.
This is a shame-free zone. Send us your story. If anyone owns a shake weight, I would like to know all of these things. Or anyone like the blogger you mentioned who remembers going with their parents or grandparents to use an old-timey fitness contraption, that would be fun to hear about as well. You can send us an email at momstuff@discovery.com or also find us on Facebook as well and message us there. And we've got a couple of listener letters.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. on demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I've got an email here from Amanda in response to our episode on estrogen, and particularly in response to when we brought up the scares behind estrogen replacement in menopause. She says, I know way too much about this topic. As an undergrad, I worked in the lab of Dr. Jill Daniel at Tulane University, and I was tasked with doing vaginal fluid staining on our rats to determine their cycles. Yes, daily pap smears. But to make the story longer, the reason behind her research was to refute the NIH claims that estrogen was harmful. There was a huge error in that NIH study. The median age of the women given estrogen was something like 80 years old, which is about 30 years after menopause would have occurred. Well, 30 years later, your body won't have a clue what to do with estrogen, and it happens to be an incredibly toxic substance. Luckily, women going through menopause are given estrogen as menopause is occurring. Dr. Daniel's lab has found that hormone replacement can stave off signs of aging, memory, and learning, even if for just a short period of time, just after or during menopause. Anyway, I've since moved on to a lab studying graft versus host disease, so to do a podcast on transplants, and you'll probably get a very detailed letter on that as well. Can you imagine doing rat pap smears every day?
How tiny are the speculums?
Oh, I don't know. Well, if you have any idea how small those rat speculums were, actually don't email us. But if you'd like to talk about anything else, you can send us a letter at momstuff@discovery.com. You can always find us on Facebook. Start a conversation there. Like us while you're at it. You can follow us on Twitter at momstuffpodcast. Check out our Tumblr at stuffmomnevertoldyou.tumblr.com. And of course, if you would like to get a little bit smarter this week, you know where to go. It's to our website, howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.